I'm Vicki Merrick. The local food report's up now with Elspeth Hay. This week, Elspeth gets some tips on growing a root vegetable to get us through the last weeks of winter.
Until a few generations ago in most cultures, food stores got low this time of year. Newfoundlanders still refer to the long and hungry month of March. Further south, the Cherokee word for February is Kagali, the hungry moon. To see us through, Barnstable gardener Dave Scandura recommends Jerusalem artichokes. He first told me about the roots this fall.
Here we have a big old patch of Jerusalem artichoke. Also, people also call them sunchokes, or we call them jaychokes. They're basically sunflowers, so the Helianthus genus is the same genus as sunflowers. This is Helianthus tuberosus. But so basically they get really tall, they flower really late, so they're in peak flower right now. They're beautiful ornamental plant, but the best part about them is that they have these beautiful edible starchy tuberous roots.
The roots look kind of like ginger or turmeric, but white on the inside instead of orange or yellow. And Dave says they're actually best to dig up and eat right now.
We generally advise harvesting actually after the winter, because if you harvest it in the fall, the roots will, those tubers are a little bit too starchy. But if you let it go through a winter, after the winter, the starches convert to sugars and it becomes a little bit tastier, sweeter, and also easier to digest.
Apparently, because they can be hard to digest, Jerusalem artichokes have a nickname.
People call them fartichokes.
The gas problems come from an unusual carbohydrate called inulin. It makes the roots sweet and delicious, like a crunchy apple from the dirt, my chef friend Michael says, but also somewhat indigestible in large doses. And there's a lot of inulin even in a single Jerusalem artichoke. There are various methods out there for degassing the roots. Some people boil them in lemon juice, which apparently converts the inulin into a more digestible sugar. Dave and his partner stumbled on another method.
So our trick is to ferment it. You know, we had a hunch, so we made a salt brine with it, and we just let it sit in a fermentation jar with an airlock. And we honestly forgot about it. We left it in the back of the kitchen, and then we came back to it a few months later, and Marina was going to throw it out. Oh, this kind of looks weird, you know, I don't know if we should keep it. And of course I try anything, so I thought, let me just try it. And I tried it, and it was the most amazing. It tastes like smoked Gouda. It's like this really interesting flavor. And so I got her to try it, and she came around and goes, oh my god, that is amazing. And we've been feeding it to people ever since, and everyone's like, this is amazing. It tastes like pickles, but with a smoked flavor. But yeah, so and no gas.
Other cooks report that same success with lacto-fermenting Jerusalem artichokes. Apparently, the roots were common in Cape Cod gardens before European colonists arrived. On a visit to an indigenous Nauset village in 1605, Samuel de Champlain remarked on an abundance of these new-to-him roots and reported that they have the taste of an artichoke, which is where some people think they got their name. Dave Scandura says one of the root's huge advantages is that they keep well in the ground all winter.
There's not a lot of food that you can harvest in the wild in March, but this is one that, you know, the winter's passed, the ground thaws out, and stuff hasn't really started growing yet. But this plant, that's when you dig up the roots. Just pick a good spot where it has plenty of room to spread and where it can get tall and enjoy it for years to come.
Dave does warn that Jerusalem artichokes can be hard to get rid of once you plant a patch, kind of like mint. But if you've ever had sunchokes roasted or pureed into a soup, or if you've ever been hungry in March, you might agree that the plant is more blessing than curse. For WCAI's Local Food Report, I'm Elspeth Hay.
Elspeth and I have been wondering these last days what our listeners need most, a distraction from relentless news or information on local efforts to keep our community fed. So we've decided to try to do both. Along with this week's piece posted on our website, capeandislands.org, we'll also post updates on where to get food if you need it and how to donate it if you have extra. Any other suggestions are more than welcome. This local food report was edited by me, Vicki Merrick, and produced by Atlantic Public Media in Woods Hole. Thanks for listening.